This is the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast, episode 687, Practical Strategies for Flipping Our Classrooms This Fall, with Kate Baker, sponsored by Advancement Courses. Welcome to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast, hosted by author, educator, speaker, and mom, the cool cat teacher, Vicki Davis. Both blended and distance learning will be different this fall. Vicki's guest, Kate Baker, digs into some strategies about how to flip your classroom and what effective online teaching should look like, especially when it comes to videos. Kate has 20 years' experience in the classroom and is now Senior Community Manager at Edmodo. She is a board member of the Flip Learning Network and contributing author of Flip 2.0. This is a great podcast to put in your toolkit. Enjoy!
Now is the time to plan your summer PD, and I recommend Advancement Courses series to help you become a better online teacher. Stay tuned at the end of the show to find out how to save 20% on Advancement Courses professional development, plus how to receive PLUs or graduate credit. Today we're talking with Kate Baker. She's contributing author to the book, Flipping 2.0 Practical Strategies for Flipping Your Class, and wrote chapter 2, which is all about flipping ELA. Now, Kate, today we're going to talk about some practical strategies for flipping our classroom, both at a distance and blended. Now, usually people think of flipping as, you know, I'm going to let them watch videos for homework. But how is this different when we start talking about blended learning and distance learning?
Really, it's about creating this flexible learning environment with your students and your colleagues. And the video is just one piece of it. And it's also about where you fit that video into the learning cycle. So it could be something that's like front loaded, like you have students watch a video before they come to class, but you could also have that video as a component inside the classroom space. It doesn't just have to be shifted to that homework area or outside classroom space, because the key is to make the best use of your in-person and face-to-face time with your students. So I can have them watching a video in class while I'm doing small group work with other students and checking in with other students face-to-face. But then I could also have everybody in the class watch a video before they come in to help front load for any directions or any information that I need them to know for the whole class activity that will happen that day.
So I had a conversation with a teacher from across the country, and they said, well, the only way to make sure they'll watch the video is to show it inside Zoom. And I'm like, what? Like, tell me, understand. So there's tools. Of course, I love Edpuzzle, but you probably know of some others. What are some ways that we can engage kids, but also press pause, help them remember what's important? What can we do to ensure that engagement we need without having to, quote, play it in Zoom? And if teachers really think they're paying attention, those kids are like have their head in the fridge getting milk or something.
Well, I think to answer this, it's a couple of factors that come into play here. One is your video itself. Like, we're not Hollywood cinematographers. So first off, like, we need to not expect that we're going to create a video that is going to be some blockbuster 2-hour event. Plus, if we look at our audience, these are kids who have grown up on YouTube, that they are used to short chunks of information. Now, granted, they can sit and binge watch episodes ad nauseum. So we want to kind of play into that factor. So when we're creating flipped videos, like, first off, make them short. Don't have a 15-minute long video. If you can have a 3 to 5 minute video, that's great. And then if you need to go into more depth, okay, well, now create a series and cluster your videos together. The other factor that we want to do is community building. And this has to happen both in and out of the video space. Like, if you want your kids to watch, first you got to go back to like the relationship. What kind of relationship do you have with your students? And what kind of community and classroom culture have you fostered? Because I guarantee you, if they're not listening to you in the classroom space, they are definitely not going to watch your video. So the more that you can put the human aspect into it and foster a sense of connection, collaborativeness, and caring, the more that you're going to have your students be invested in the learning process. Plus, too, the other thing you can do is like slip in some fun things. Have your personality come out in a video and kind of create that like Easter egg type of thing. And then do a little bit of, I don't want to call it marketing, but in a way of like, hey guys, did you see what I did in that video? And like try to get the students to think about that as well. You know, oh, hey, did you see what Mrs. Baker did in the video? Now, of course, it's all got to be like good, clean, fun. But that type of interaction can help build that level of engagement in such a way that will lead to the engagement in an academic manner. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I always try to put some kind of humor or something kind of different in those videos just to help the kids want to watch. Of course, I've been doing that for a while because it works. So let me ask you this. I had a teacher across the country was ranting on Facebook about her child had been assigned 2.5 or 3 hours of history videos a week during distance learning. Do you consider that flipped or like what's wrong with that scenario?
Okay. So that situation, 2 to 3 hours of work is a bit much, especially when we're looking at the circumstances that are happening around us, the context. So, you know, this age of distance learning and having to pivot very quickly from an in-person experience to an online one has forced everybody to scramble. Teachers have had to scramble, ed tech companies have had to scramble, parents, students, all of us. And really, like in looking at the instructional design there, the teacher probably could have done a better job of structuring activities and structuring the learning in such a way that it didn't feel so cumbersome to the parents and the students. But with that being said, I also think too that teachers need professional development, you know, to help be more proactive for this instead of reactive. And I'm a parent. So I was able to see this firsthand as a parent and an educator that, you know, a lot of teachers were scrambling and they didn't feel prepared for this pivot. And it was unrealistic to say, okay, all the things that I do in my classroom space, I am now going to do this exactly the same way online. And that can't happen. That can't happen.
Well, and we know with SAMR that you redefine when you use technology, you can't just substitute. It just doesn't work.
And I think that's where we were. I think that's where a lot of people were this spring. It was just a matter of like, okay, how can we make this work? Let's do some substitution. Rather than ranting about it on Facebook, I wish there would be a better dialogue, especially when we go into the fall. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, even the looming, I don't want to say threat, but the looming possibility of having, you know, if we open up schools to go back to online learning. And I think this gives us a really good opportunity to look at what did we do in the spring and how can we iterate on this in the fall? So throw some little design thinking on this too. And how can we make this a better process and a better experience for everybody, not just, you know, one portion of the stakeholders that are involved in education?
Everyone. We need a new sense of normalcy and routine and schedule. And it just can't be confusing. We need to figure out some simple ways. I mean, some of the stuff I'm seeing with some schools, it's like, wow, like, I'm glad that you have a PhD or 2 or 5 or 15 who can understand this system because it doesn't make sense to me. So as we finish up, Kate, what are some practical tool suggestions for teachers to take a look at for flipping this fall?
Absolutely. So a great website to go to is the Flip Learning Networks page. This is all a grassroots organization, educators like myself who are passionate about flip learning. We share lots of tips and tricks and articles. Throughout the month of July, we're going to be hosting a free conference all online. So teachers that are interested in flip learning can certainly partake in this online event as well as, you know, just access the site organically. When it comes to implementing flip learning, I recommend doing the research ahead of time and taking a hard look at your instructional design and what your objectives are with your students and asking yourself some questions with it. Is it appropriate to use a video? Is it appropriate to use a different ed tech tool? And look at the system that you're going to use. So I always framed my classroom using Edmodo as the hub of our learning space online. And then daily agendas were posted there, assessments were posted there, all our resources would be posted there. But then we would also radiate out to different websites like Edpuzzle or Actively Learn to be able to engage in that flipped learning. I'll share with you an acronym real quick for the Flipped Learning Network, because it is so much more than just flipping your classes, so much more than video. So if you think about flexible learning environment, there's the F. You think about cultivating a positive learning culture, there's the L. You have intentional content, the I, and then you have professional educators for the P. So if you think of the four pillars of flipped learning, that can help give you a good guide as you're tailoring your instruction and shifting it to a flipped learning format.
Well, and we also want to encourage everyone to make sure that they've really vetted the videos and that there's diversity represented. I mean, kids should have actors and actresses or presenters that reflect the beautiful diversity in our classrooms.
Absolutely. And teachers shouldn't be shy of creating their own videos because it will create that sense of connection. Like, you know, get over yourself. Like, yeah, we're not going to be Hollywood, but we're still human. So using Screencastify with Google tools, using Screencast-O-Matic, or, you know, if you want to invest in something like Camtasia to do edited videos. You know, putting as much of yourself as the teacher practitioner into the video and into the whole experience is really important. Like, you're not just a curator of here, oh, I found this video on YouTube and I want to share it with you. It really is about that intentional content. And as a professional educator, that you are making these decisions that are going to be impacting your students and the content that you deliver to them.
Yes, Kate. And it's just like you would talk about or bring your regular interest into the classroom, because when you're talking about things that are your interests or those of your students, you're going to have more engagement and more excitement. So we want to bring ourselves, our whole selves, into what we create, as well as our students doing that. So the name of the book is Flipping 2.0, Practical Strategies for Flipping Your Class. And this is an essential skill for all of us to improve and level up. And you know what? Lots of us, me especially, made some mistakes, or some things I'll say things that I would probably do differently if I had a little more time to research. We did the best we could in the spring, everybody. So we're just going to move forward and do a little homework, do some research, get that professional development that Kate has talked about that we all need, and level up the learning and level up how we flip. Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome, Vicki. Thank you.
This fall season is going to be different, but we're not sure how. Whatever happens, online learning will play a huge role in teaching for all of us. And what better way to understand online learning than to take your summer professional development online through advancement courses? With advancement courses, you never stop learning. They offer over 280 graduate level PD courses in 20 different subjects, all self-paced with up to 6 months to complete. Go to advancementcourses.com/coolcat and save 20% off each course by using the code COOL20. That's just $120 per graduate credit hour or $160 for 50 clock hours. You can also receive graduate credit through CAEP and regionally accredited university partners for continuing education requirements. Thanks, Advancement Courses, for sponsoring today's show.